Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning to everybody. What this is about, it's a more FYI message. As you all know, we've been meeting here for a few years now, and our vision is to one day be back there. It's a lot of room. We expect a lot of people to start coming to this place. That's a vision that God has given us. And so where we're at today, and this is just for you guys to pray about, and one of the things that we want to do back there, of course, is not only have an area to worship in, but we also need classrooms and just different rooms for our kids and their Bible studies. But before we do that, there's one thing that lies over our heads, our roof. And so that's what I'm talking to you about today, is that we can't do anything down here because of the condition of our roof. And so before we start building, before we start expanding, that has to be taken care of. And so we need to replace the roof, and it's going to cost us about $66,000. Yeah, roofs are not cheap. Try doing it even in your house. And so, you know, we have shopped around, we have looked around, and that is probably, it is the best way we can go. So this is all to just for you guys to pray about and see how you can help to raise the money to pay for this. If you know someone out there, a good friend of yours, that's just got money that they don't know what to do with. I know I'm that way. You know, I said, what am I going to do with my $2, you know? But, you know, just kind of pray for God's hand to be on this. You know, God gave us this building. This building is free and clear. And that's unheard of for a little bitty church congregation. But guess what? We're a little bitty congregation, but we serve a big God. And so when it comes to what we're going to come forth with now, like I said, we are this church. And you'd notice that we generally don't even talk about money here, because that's just the way that God has directed us. We have the box back there. You know, we don't go around with the baskets. It's all a heart thing, right? And so as this time approaches, and we are going to go forth with trying to get this building to progress, just like I said, if something comes up that you feel in your heart, you want to give a little extra more than your tithe, if you know someone that does have funds that could help, a friend, by all means, you know, let them know where we're at. And usually, if you write on the check or whatever, you can write it out to the Cerrito House of Worship, but labeled it Building Fund. And that way we know that you're directing that to that specific place. And so that's all it is. At some point, you will be hearing more of maybe some fund drives that we want to do. But somewhere along the line, we got to fix this roof. And once that roof gets fixed, then we could start with the classrooms and everything else. So that's it. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hey, well, I've been singing this song. I just the Lord put something in my heart this morning. I just want to read this to you. It's Psalm 33, and it's verse 8, and it says, "Let the Lord, let the earth fear the Lord." How many say amen?
Amen.
Let the earth fear the Lord. All the inhabitants of the earth, let them fear the Lord. Those that know Him, reverence Him. But those that don't know Him, hey, you kind of have to, hey, there's something about God that you're going to find out later on. So it's important that you learn to reverence and fear the Lord. But it says this, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Amen?
Amen.
How many say, yeah, come on, man. How many know He's a big God? How many know He's big? bigger than we can even imagine. Amen? Yes. Our minds can't even comprehend that how big God is. It says this, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I mean, we're talking about the earth and the stars and everything. He spoke and he commanded. Amen? And everything just lined right up. Amen? Seems to me the only thing he has problem lining up is just people. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. We got some weird folks on this planet. How many say amen to that? Praise God, man. How many weird folks are in this church this morning? Yeah, come on. Guys, stand up there with a microphone, jump around, man. Come on, man. Hallelujah. But, Psalm 68, the Bible says that right here it says, he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I just got a word for you this morning. This is how I feel the Lord is saying to you. Psalm 68, 28. It's one of my favorite verses because it says this. God has commanded your strength. How many say amen to that? He's commanded your strength. He's commanded your strength. How many feel weak sometimes? How many feel like, weary? Amen. How many get tired at certain times? How many are asleep by 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Amen. Well, I guess just me. Amen. No, man. No, Rosie keeps me working until 10 o'clock. Then I go to bed. No, I'm just kidding. Well, the Word of God says he commanded your strength. So I'm just say that to you this morning. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong, O people of God. Be strong, O people of God. Because God has commanded you to be strong. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? He commanded you to be strong. Amen. Hallelujah. There's another place where it says, hey, that they shall run and what? And not be weary. They will run and not be weary. He's commanded your strength. Isn't that good? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Nothing else will do.
For most of us, we're told that we have the mind of Christ. And I was just praying about that this morning, and that's a good thing to have, right? But sometimes in the quest to realize what we have in that statement, we spend more time trying to figure him out. But guess what? His ways are higher than our ways, right? And so we can try to spend our time thinking and saying, well, how would God do this? Or you spend more time trying to figure him out. And you're never really going to get there if you're working on your own head. But as a spirit reveals to you those things that are important to you personally, the mind of Christ begins to develop. We get to realize what he has for me that I can give to you, you to me. But it's one of these things that I just felt needed to be said, is that don't try to figure him out. Ask him to reveal to you who he is. And otherwise, you're going to spend every day thinking about how he would do it rather than to say, Lord, how do you want me to do it? So that's just the word I felt I needed to say. I think too many people spend too much time thinking about the things that are going on rather than just allowing him to tell you what's important to you. Thank you.
They've been talking about the idea of who God is and how much that he loves you. That the idea of him being a part of your life at every moment. And one of the things that you have to really realize is the positive things in your life. And you start focusing on that. Only because you know who your God is. Your God isn't someone that wants to walk with you through trials in the sense of being sorrowful. He says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you have strength and joy, don't let anyone steal your joy. Don't let anyone take away what God has placed in there for you. Yes, we go through trials, we go through different things, but he's saying that I'm walking with you. That's the joy that we have. It's not because we're saying joyful for the situation. We're joyful for the outcome of the situation. We might have a problem with our child not doing what they're supposed to do, or our just anything that finances, whatever, just know, or an illness. Just know we have a God that wants to bring you out of it. He wants a God that he wants to walk with you through it. Peace I give you, peace that passes all understanding. We don't understand. We don't have the total understanding, just like John said about the mind of Christ. But he wants to be there for you because he loves you. Don't forget a powerful God that can create the heavens and the earth wants to walk with you. Isn't that something to be joyful about? Isn't that something to know that he is something that it's amazing? And keep on focusing on what is positive and not the negative, because when you speak the positive, you're putting those words into action. God can't put negative words into action. That's not who he is. But if you start speaking positive and saying, yeah, I will be healed. Yeah, my kids will come out of it. Yes, I know that because we serve a wonderful God. And remember, more than anything, he wants a relationship with you. Not just me. He wants a relationship with you. You as a person. And he wants to do all things for you. But we're so busy looking at things that are happening in the world that we forget or we don't see the nuggets that he has. It could be just a butterfly that just flies in front of you. And you know that that's a gift from God. Don't forget the small things, because he's there in the big things and the small things, because he loves you. Remember that. Remember that his love for you and the situation is not going to stay where it's at. We have the end of the book. In Jesus' name.
I was going to use the mic. That's what we put it up here for. Is anybody listening to my announcements? All right. So, you know, youth group, we were talking about Matthew 25. And is anybody familiar with the parable of the talents? Yeah? And I don't know if I like it to translate it as gold, but I guess it's more understandable. But because, you know, it's this parable that kind of talks about this master going on a journey. I don't know who that sounds like. Who, like, leaves from this place he was at. Jesus. And he entrusts his servants with gold or talents. And, you know, when he comes back, he finds out what they've been doing with them. And, you know, he sees that two of them have doubled what they were given. One, 5, got 10, made another 5. One had, I think it was like 2, made another 2. And then one, he went and he buried it. You know, so, you know, I really encourage you to read about it if you haven't in a while. But I think it's really important to look at that where it's talking about the servants. And they were entrusted with something from this that this guy had. It's just like we here are entrusted with the kingdom of God and sharing that, right? And so, you know, it's just there was a wise man. His name was Davin. How old is Davin? It's like 12. 13? 11. All right, 11. All right. And I said, so what does this say about what we should do with, you know, what God has entrusted us with? And so then he says, we should use it wisely. So, you know, I just want to encourage every one of you that you should use whatever God has given you wisely. Because there was that one servant that he scolded. And, you know, because he just took what he had. He knew all this amazing stuff, right? He was, so like, he's entrusted with this gold. Just like, you know, we could be these people at church. We have God, we have Jesus, but we're not sharing it with anybody, right? We're not sharing our talents. And I know it sounds like it comes from me a lot, but it's you know, we gotta serve God, because you will not believe the kind of blessing you get from serving Him. Because I'm not talking about becoming some rich person in terms of the world, but I'm talking about becoming a rich person in terms of the kingdom. But while we're here, yeah, we do get some stuff. We get some joy. We get some peace. Sometimes we get money. But that's not what matters. What matters is that joy, that peace, that relationship with God. So let me just encourage you that you walk in what God has created you for. Because you will see something. You'll be able to tell people. You'll be able to give them a testimony about something that nobody else can. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in my life, and people say, "You're just a lucky guy, Abe." And it's like, no, I am not a lucky guy. It's like I'm a blessed guy. And it's because I'm walking in the things that God has given me to do. Now, there's some other stuff, right, Terry, that I got to do. But, you know, with what I've been entrusted with so far, I've made sure that I've put that first, that I prioritize that. And I know if any of you do that, you're going to find something that you might be looking for. If you keep hitting a wall, thinking, you know what, there's got to be more than this. You know, I'm tired of this. And I can tell you, I've been tired about it a lot lately. But I know ultimately that my God is greater than anything. And that this right now is just to make me stronger. And that when I come through it, I'll also be able to tell people another thing where they're just going to say, you know what, Abe, you're lucky. It's like, no, I am blessed. So just do whatever you need to do. You know, search and keep searching. Like Jeremiah 29:11, you know, I know the plans I have for you. And then it goes on, you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart, right? So we got to actually find God, okay? We have to search and search and search until we actually find that place that we're supposed to be in, doing that thing we're supposed to be doing. So seek God with all your heart, serve Him, and use, as Davin would say, use what God has entrusted you with wisely.
Praise God. Does anybody have anything else? A lot of you might be wondering, some of you, I know there's some new folks in here, and this is what we do. We allow the body of Christ to minister to one another. I believe it's important that God's people have a voice. Amen? Do you believe that? How many believe that? How many know that God wants to hear your voice? Amen? You don't have to be in here, but He loves your voice. Uh-oh, here comes a voice right now. Come on, hold on.
I just can't keep my mouth shut. Praise God. You know, I was, this morning I was studying about the word stiff-necked. And the thing is, you know, I looked it up, and you see, I was raised in a ranch, and, you know, with horses and cattle, and a lot of those horses weren't even mine. I borrowed from the neighbors after. And they always come to my uncles over here and tell, hey, how come Ruben's always getting our horses? You see, in my place, they wanted me to work and so I could ride a horse, you know. But all my relatives, my cousins, stuff like that, they come out of town, you know, into on a Sunday afternoon or morning, and they're always riding the horses, you know, and I used to hate to see them out there sweating, and, you know, I never used to like to see the horses sweat, and riding them up the hill and stuff like that. You know, they got feelings, because, you know, I was raised like that, you know, but praise God, you know, I was, you know, about that word, you know, stiff-necked, you know, and the thing is that, I looked it up, and it means Well, it's like a stiff neck, you know. But the thing is that, and it meant that, you know, a heart that is hard, you know. And when the Lord was talking to Israel, you know, that's what, you know, they would just continue, you know, crying like we do. But the thing is that, you know, when he was, one time, you know, I had to, there was two horses I always get, you know, it was a black one and an albino one. And the thing is, one of them, he was, you know, I would try to turn him, you know, I even had his head all the way up to 180, you know, and he wouldn't turn around, go to the left or to the right. And, you know, I had to beat him in the neck and stuff like that until he got the habit of it. And he started, you know, I worked on him, you know, he did that, you know, he just, get going. And, and the white one, I used to ride him with a string, you know, on a bare back and with a string. And once the string will hit him in the side, he will feel it hit him in the side. He'll go to the left or he'll go to the right, you know. And that's the way God wants us. You know, when he speaks to us, you know, we have to just say, yes, Lord. Wherever you want me to go, Father, I'll go, you know. You know, and when you feel that God is, you know, trying to use us, you know, go to the right, go to the left, you know, be happy. Go, I mean, not happy, but joyful. The word is joyful. You see, one time I walked into the bus, you know, and I asked one of the brothers, he goes, I go, Jose, I says, you feel joyful? And then he goes, amen, you know, I feel joyful. Okay. And then the front over there, you know, there was a guy, hey, Ruben, there's no such thing as joyful. It's happy. I go, the clowns make you happy. I go, you see? But God gives you that joy that leads to all understand. I mean, you know, it's that joy that, you know, that gives us that strength, you see? Like the brother's always jumping, you know? I'm even afraid to jump now. But the thing is, you know, he's in shape. But the thing is, you know, like, you know, is something, hey man, you know what? I'll jump. Woo! Thank you, Lord. But the thing is that, you know, it is God, you know, gives us that joy, you know. And we can't be stiff-necked, you know. We have to be, you know, just let the Lord, you know, use us, you know. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Hear that about stiff-necked. I think of a donkey. Have you ever seen a donkey sit down and somebody try to pick it up, try to pull it up? And that's a stiff neck. It's resisting. It doesn't want to get up. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Ruben. Hey, like I said, our vision is here is to build and strengthen the body of Christ. And young people, elder, I mean, all of us, man. How many young people in the building? Everybody raise your hand because you are young. Amen. Amen. Methuselah was old. 969 years old was that guy. So you got baby powder. You smell like baby oil compared to him. Amen? Hallelujah. Methuselah. So we're all young folks here, man. Let me tell you. And God wants to use your voice out there. And so, you know, hey, and so I just want to encourage you all. If anytime you feel like you feel like maybe a scripture pops into your head, just go ahead and come on up here and grab the mic. Abe set this up special for you. Amen. So you can just come up and say, hey, man, this is what God's saying to me. That's folks. I believe this is how we build the body of Christ. It's not all about a pastor or a set of pastors. It is about the body of Christ. Let me say amen to that. About who you are. You know, there used to be a song that says, it's all about you, God. It's all about you. But God, once you're saved, he turns it around, makes it all about you, about the body of Christ. Amen. So this morning, and you know, I know last week we had 4 speakers, amen? So today we have 15. Ha, 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 you're funny. No, I just want, it was my daughter's, it's her turn to preach. So, because we have ministers here, Abe and my daughter, pastor and I, we all take turns preaching up here. So today is my daughter's turn to preach.
And so I just want you to lean in. Can I? Everybody, kind of just right now, just lean forward, lean forward, lean into this message. I mean, I don't see you leaning in. Come on, lean in, lean in, lean into this message this morning, okay? Because I believe God's got something for you. Amen. How many say amen to that? I mean, how many want something from God? Hallelujah. Not just money. Is that right? Joy. Amen. Hallelujah. And then I want to see more of you doing some of this. Is that okay? Come on. Come on, Darren. You can do that. Yeah. Come on, bro. Come on, man. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, brother. Didn't mean to pick on you, but I did mean to pick on you. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. So, hallelujah. So, give her a hand and just invite and listen. Point your ear towards her and hear what she has to say. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. This message that I have, it's kind of, it went, everybody who spoke this morning went really well with it. So a lot of what I'm going to be speaking on this morning has to do with who we are in Him and what the Word tells us about who we are in Him. You know, it's so important for us to be in the Word, because as we're in it, He gives us things that edify us and that kind of clean some things out, but also strengthen us and help us to grow. And sometimes, you know, we can get a little complacent. We can just get used to the normal, the day-to-day, the regular things that we normally do. And we sometimes forget that if we don't make that time, that there's some things that He's wanting to show us, some things He's wanting to give us. And the Word is so important in our lives on a regular basis, just because it teaches you who you are in Him. It really does strengthen you. Just like they were saying, it gives you joy. It gives you peace that passes all understanding. It's all of those things in your life. The things that come up, it's the tools for you. It teaches you everything that He has for you. It shows you exactly what He's purposed for you specifically. It's why coming to church is important, because we can commune together and we can uplift each other and we can speak to each other. But it's so important to have that one-on-one relationship, because we, especially now, we're moving into a time where we need to know who we are in Him. And us knowing who we are in Him becomes a reflection of Him in us. And that is so important for this world today, because there is so much fighting. There's so much arguing and disagreeing. And I, you know, sometimes it's almost exhausting, right? Like, to just even watch the news, or to just hear about politics and the things going on. It can almost just be exhausting, because so many people are just so frustrated with each other. And that's the thing is, you know, we're not meant to focus on those things. God knew exactly what He was doing when He placed you here for this time. And if we're in the Word and we go after Him, He's going to begin to place things in our lives that make it to where that stuff is just noise. Because what He has purposed for us comes first. And just being you, just walking out there, when you're filled and when you are lit up, there's nothing that they can do to darken or dim that. Because you'll be shining the way He desired for you to shine. So that's kind of what we're going to look at this morning. I have a lot of scripture, because I really, this message, when I was preparing it, I was kind of like, God, I feel like this is stuff people already know. And I feel like it's something, well, for me especially, I felt like this is stuff I feel like I've heard, like, even all growing up. So I feel like, are you sure this is what you wanted me to speak? Because I feel like it's kind of like, you know, heard a lot. But as I just kept even doing my regular reading during the week, all of these scriptures just kind of kept popping out. And it was just more and more confirmation for, I know that it's said often, but I think that especially now, God's wanting us to understand, this is what I need you to understand. I need you to know who you are, because I've created you to be set apart. I've created you to be different. And as long as you're being like everybody else, it's not allowing me to do exactly what I created you for. From the time before you were even a thought for him, he already had planned out what he had for you. He already knew exactly what he wanted to do, exactly who you would be, exactly what he created and formed you for. And it's amazing. It's powerful things. It's great things. And sometimes when we think about some of the things we see in the Bible, we even think, ah, gosh, I don't know how. I couldn't do that. But you know what? Moses said he couldn't do it too, with a stutter and all. And God just said, let me use you. And that's exactly the way we're supposed to be. We're just supposed to go after him. And as we go after him, he begins to do things in our lives, and those things just begin to pour out. Sometimes we make it so complicated. Sometimes we make it so difficult. When really, the truth is all we got to do is go after him. Because as we go after him, the Holy Spirit comes in and does some things in our lives. And it's not anything that we can plan. It's not anything that we can do on our own. But you'll just begin to see him pour and change and move. And then as you see him doing it in your life, it just all of a sudden starts pouring out to the people around you because it can't even be contained. And so this is what I want to, we're going to go to Romans 8. And we're going to read 1 through 17, but this is a lot of, I just want to read this first because I feel like this has a great foundation for what I'm talking about, who you are. And so let's start verse 1. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This was... I just loved this because, yes, it does also talk about when we aren't walking in the Spirit. But the whole point of it is to tell you these are things that you don't have to worry about anymore. The fleshly things are passed away. They're gone. He's already dealt with them and taken care of them. And that's the thing is sometimes, you know, I grew up a lot in church hearing, you know, we're just sinners. I'm only human. And, you know, yes, we're humans, but God died on that cross and took care of all of those sins for you. And it shouldn't ever be a crutch for us that says, I'm only human, so it's okay that I'm doing this. Because in here, it tells us specifically that he took care of all of that so that you could walk in the flesh and do spiritual things, not fleshly things. And that's the thing, is we gotta realize that who he's created us to be is much different than what the world is like. And as we allow him to come into our life and we allow him to do things, something else in our life becomes greater, and it's the Spirit. And now instead of going through life, walking and thinking, it's okay, I can do this, it's okay, I can do that, as we go after him, our mind begins to change and we begin to do things according to the Spirit. And that's exactly what this is telling us. It's telling us that that freedom has already been paid for. The sin is already been paid for. He took care of it when he was on that cross. And when he rose again and he left us the Holy Spirit, he left it that we could have communion with him on a regular basis. Man, that in itself is so amazing. Because think about it. All in the Old Testament, they were doing things just to make sure that they were covered and could at least, you know, be right enough with God to be there. But then when he came, he took care of all of it. He wiped it away that every single day you might be able to meet with him on a regular basis. What a powerful thing to be able to say, God, I need you now. And to be able to hit the floor on your knees anytime you want, in your room, in the closet, in the bathroom, at work, anywhere, and say, God, I need you. I need you to show me what to do. I need you to direct me. I need you to give me peace where I feel so much turmoil. I need you to take over these situations. And in those moments, he can do it because he paid a price already. Yeah. It's something we just gotta remember all the time. It's something that we gotta go after. As we read, as we see things, these things will continue to come up to show you who you are in him. You just gotta go after it because he's there. He already took care of it. He already gave you a gift, and that gift is the Holy Spirit within you. I liked how right now my dad mentioned, you know, it was all about him, but he makes it a lot about you. It's a relationship, right? A circle, like a hug. As you go after him, he pours things into you because it's all about, for him, it's all about you. Just like with our kids, how we want them to know things, we want to show them things. It's the same way with him. You're his kid. Just like it said, heirs. We are heirs of the kingdom. Man, you know, my daughter has been struggling a little bit because she's, you know, she has a glucose monitor since she has type 1 diabetes, and kids can be kind of mean sometimes. And they have mentioned, like, what is that? And why is it always beeping? And why is it always going off? And it's gotten to this point where she's really just like, Mom, I don't even want to take it with me because I'm tired of them asking me. And so we've been having a lot of conversations about who you are. And one of those things that I've been telling her a lot is, you are an heir. You walk this earth as royalty. We are the sons and daughters of a king. You are princes and princesses, and there is nothing that can come against you because he's given you everything you need. You walk this earth as royalty, and you have to remember that all the time. When you struggle, when things are going on, when you feel like things have gotten hard, remember, I am royalty. There is nothing that can come against me. Because you are. You are. You are strong. You have been created for these moments, so you've already got it within you. It's a matter of allowing him to do things within you so that it can just come forth. It's already in there. It's nothing that needs to be added or changed to you in some weird way. No, you were created with it. And if we just allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives, we begin to see these things just come up in our lives. It's like the Bible says, like a spring. It just springs forth. It comes up and it goes out. And it's what we're called to do. Let's see. And there's another scripture in... I just want to show you some scriptures about being a light. Let's go to John 8:1. It says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?' This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" I don't know if everybody got a bulletin, but the title of my sermon is Proof of Life. And when it kept coming up through the week, I was trying to look to see, okay, God, like what is this? Why proof of life? And so I was looking up, like, you know, just in medical terms, in general, like what, you know, if you looked it up, what it would say. And a lot of it had to do with, one, kidnappers, which I was like, okay, I don't think it has to do with that. And another one was, like, in the medical field, when they're trying to find proof of life for somebody who's passed. And still that was like, no, that's still not what I... So, God, I don't know why you want to name this. I don't really understand. And as he started to give me all these scriptures and all these things for this sermon, it's like, man, it was just like a light bulb. Like, it just kind of happened that proof of life is us being a light. It's that proof of life is the life that he speaks of, the life everlasting, life more abundantly. And then I just really was like, man, when we look at ourselves, do we have proof of life? Do we reflect who he is? Do we shine? Like he said, are we the salt of the earth? Like he tells us we should be. Because that's the thing is, you know, we come to church on a regular basis. We do all these things, but God tells us in the Bible that he's waiting for his bride. And that's the church. But we have so many churches. So what is it that you're waiting for? He's waiting for us to operate in the kingdom. He's waiting for us to be who he called us to be. Not just to be people who come to church every Sunday, on Wednesdays, we help out every once in a while. No, there's a proof of life in there. It's this change that happens when we're not just saying, God, we believe in you, but we're saying, God, we are walking with you. It's the change that happens when we move from this area of being that baby who needs a lot of help to realizing this relationship can happen one-on-one constantly. And if I just keep going after you and I keep pressing in, I can talk to you on my own. I can hear from you on my own. It's important because there's things in your life that he will want to deal with, that he's going to want to talk to you about. There's things that you struggle with, that he's going to want to help you with, but he can't help you with them when you're not even going after him. It's like spinning our wheels, just constantly being in this place where we're saying, God, I know this needs to change. I know that I really need to do this. I know that I really should, you know, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop looking at the things I shouldn't be looking at. But we make it harder on ourselves because instead of going to the source, we continue to try to look for the answers somewhere else. And he's the one who changes it for us. It's not anything that you do. That's the thing, is what you have struggled with for so long, what you have had a hard time with, he can take it away. If we understand who we are in him, we start to realize that what we think is impossible is not impossible for him. What we think should take months to heal can be healed in an instant. What we think should take lots of time to get over the maybe the grief, the struggle, the whatever it is, he can take it away like that. If we trust him and go after him, we will see the things that he always promised are real. They're real in our lives. They will come up. If you press in, I guarantee you that you will see the promises start to come forth in your life. Where there was, just like Abe was saying, I'm not lucky, I'm blessed. It's nothing I'm doing on my own. I'm going after him. And as I'm going after him, he's blessing my finances. He's touching every situation. He's blessing my position at my job. He's giving me everything that I need. I'm not worried about being hungry. I'm not worried about my clothes. I'm not worried about any of it, because all I'm worried about is the Father. It's a reflection of who he is. We never saw him worried about his lodging, his food, what he was going to do tomorrow, what was going to happen with. As a matter of fact, he came here knowing his purpose and still did not worry, because he was in constant communication with the Father. Where somebody could have let that just be a major burden, he had peace. When he saw the whole world start to turn against him, when he was trying to give them life, he had peace. How many of us can say the same thing about our situations in everyday life? How many of us can say that when that thing came against us, we had peace? It was no problem. That's the thing, is that when we're not walking according to the Spirit, every single thing that comes against you will be a problem. Every single feeling, emotion, every single little issue will seem like it's a big problem. But he tells us that we don't have to worry about it. He tells us that it's taken care of. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that all we need to do is be still. See, our nature makes us want to fight. Our nature makes us want to get angry. Our nature makes us feel like, I got to fix it myself. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to be first and foremost in your life, those things won't happen. Let me tell you, this is your proof of life. The way you react is your proof of life. Let me tell you that when you know without a doubt that you don't have to worry, when things start to happen and you're not worried, but you're praising God through the midst of it, people will see that. Let me tell you that when everybody else is arguing and upset about the way the world is going and politics and everything else, and you're not worried, people will see that. When people are angry with each other and going after each other constantly, just consuming each other up, and you're loving people, people will see that. It's not us, it's Him in us. The Holy Spirit begins to take us down a path that's not like any other, and where the Bible tells us to be transformed. Not conforming to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. As we begin to do that, your proof of life, it shines brighter than anything that you could ever do on your own. It begins to work something within you that as you just go on your regular everyday life, people will be so attracted to you. Jesus didn't have to do anything but show up. And when he showed up, they sat down. They wanted to hear what he had to say. They wanted to know, what do you have? Because it's different. They were hurting. They needed food. They needed just something, hope. And it didn't matter that they didn't know who he was. All that mattered is he was different. He does things different. He's loving. He is a father where I didn't know a father. He is my best friend when I needed a best friend. He encouraged me when everybody else kicked me. He pushed me forward when I didn't know what else to do. That's who he is, and that's who you are. You're meant to be the same exact thing, loving when people are upset, encouraging when others won't encourage. As you begin to go after God and these changes happen in your life, you become a perfect reflection of who He is. A perfect reflection. And I mean that. You begin to see things in your life that were struggles before, just there's no desire anymore. It's not even there anymore. Because who he is, the love that he has for you, the things that he's showing you, just completely consumes it and gets rid of it. It's a natural edification that begins to happen in your life. That as you go after him and say, God, I just want more, he begins to deal with these things, and almost in a way that seems painless to you. There's been times in my life that as I deal with things and then I look back, I go, man, it was pretty rough then. But because you're so focused on him, you don't even realize how bad until you look back and say, I'm glad that's gone. You did it. Only you could have done it, because I couldn't have done it on my own. He's called us to these things. Life more abundantly. To be a light, a true light. Let's read. There's a scripture where he talks about him being the true light. In John 1, 1 through 13, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And that's just, again, another scripture that talks about you're not meant to walk in the flesh. You're not. Your body is not meant to do that. He created you to walk in the Spirit. He created you to be a light. There's always these, you know, the Bible talks about that he defeated death. And as you go through Romans, you'll begin to see a lot of scriptures that talk to you about how you have life. And that because he defeated that sin and you're walking in life, that death can't touch you. But see, these are things that as we say them, our human nature goes a little crazy, right? It begins to say, I don't know about that because I've seen a lot of family members with cancer, or I've seen a lot of this, or I've seen a lot of that. And let me tell you, God gave you dominion over this earth. First thing in Genesis, it talks about how he gave Adam dominion over all things, even the little tiny creepy crawling things. There was nothing that you didn't have dominion over. You have dominion over the things of this earth. The problem is we don't walk in it. We don't walk in the promises, in the things that he's given us, because we let something get in the way a lot of times. And a lot of times it's the worldly thinking. It's the things that we've been taught as kids, like, well, science says that when this is happening, this has to happen to fix it. And if that doesn't happen, then it's not fixable. Ooh, let me tell you, the Creator can fix it. He made it. He can fix it. There is not anything that he can't do. But we gotta start walking in that. This is what he's waiting for. He's waiting for a church that's not gonna just come and sit down, but a church that's gonna say, God, that was an amazing service. Now I'm taking it out with me during the day, and I'm gonna meet with you tonight, and I'm gonna meet with you in the morning, and I'm gonna meet with you while I'm at work, and I'm gonna meet with you while I'm driving in my car, and I'm gonna meet with you every chance that I can, because I just want more of you. And as I go after you, everything else around me, just, you put it into place. That's not to say that things won't come against you, but when it comes against you, you're going to have a lot more tools in your arsenal to fight it. You're going to have a lot more of a foundation to stand on. You're going to not just be trying to say, God, I need this over here, but you're going to walk to it because that foundation's been built. There's not going to be anything that can stop you. You are the one who stops you. Let it just get out of the way. Say, God, I'm done. I'm done standing in the way. When you say move, I'm going to be obedient. When you tell me that you have something for me, I'm going to take it. When you tell me to go and speak to somebody, I'm going to speak to them. When you tell me to love my enemy, I'm going to love my enemy. There's so many times that we could be showing who he is, but we're too busy letting the flesh take over. There are so many times in our regular life that people are watching you without you even knowing. And when you let that flesh take over, it's like they don't see that light. But if you just walk with him on a regular basis, that light will shine so bright. And things that used to drive you crazy, things that used to make you nuts, things that used to worry about will just be gone. It'll just fade away. Let me tell you that my boss, and I know this is a very big subject, and actually there are partners, but he loves guns. And boy, is he worried about some gun laws right now. Oh, if they try to take this away. And let me tell you that he's mentioned how hard it is to get ammo because of people being worried about these things. Can I tell you that when you're so focused on something, you begin to forget what's important? Your mind and your attention are on something that, do you really have control of it? Do you really have any control besides to throw more fuel in the fire, to fight with more people, to get a little more angry with some people, because this is what I really want and this is what I really think? It's the same thing with this whole mask situation. Everybody wants to fight about something that is so, the truth is, God is all we need. We need peace. We need joy. We need those things in our life because we're all arguing. We're all fighting. We're all getting upset with each other, but we're not loving each other. We're not being an example of who he is. When we choose to turn around and argue with somebody over something, why? In this passage that we just read, those Pharisees were poking. Let me get something from you. Let me try to have you misstep just a little bit. And you know what I really like is that even when they were poking, the word says that he just kept writing in the sand like he didn't hear them. And to me, like, that's just such a picture of who we should be. It's such a picture of what he's meant for us to be. Just not bothered by that at all. Because what we have and what we know is so much more important than arguing, being upset about something that ultimately God knows about. He's the one who knows our hearts. He's the one who knows what we want, what we need. He's the one who can solve all of the problems, all of the issues, the things that you're worried about, he can give you answers to. He can give you, those answers are what give you peace. Let me tell you that. It's this, when he speaks something in you, that word is what gives you peace. Because where you were worried, you will find that as you begin to hear his voice, where you were worried, he speaks exactly to it and just calms it and quiets it like it's gone. I know that I'm going to close. So let me just, I have one more scripture I want to read to you guys. I kind of went off. So in Galatians 5, I'm going to start at verse 7. I'm going to read a bit, but it says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then The offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, be aware lest you be consumed by one another. Let me just tell you, this is what's happening in the world. They're biting each other constantly. And I'll be honest, I know there's been times where I get frustrated and I've bitten back too. But I know that God said in here, that's not what we're meant to do. We're meant to show something different. We're not meant to do the same exact things. We're not meant to fight and be upset the same way they are. We're meant to show that we're set apart. We're meant to show that we're different. And that difference comes in that peace that passes all understanding because we're walking in the Spirit. So this part, I just want to go over it one more time because it is awesome. It does speak to what's happening in our world right now and who we're meant to be. So again, it says, verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." And then verse 16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another." This is who you are. You are love. You are joy. You are peace. You are long-suffering, kindness, goodness. This is your proof of life. It's the reflection that you show when you walk in the Spirit. It's something that it makes you set apart. Not because of anything crazy. Did you hear that? All you have to do is be loving, kind, considerate, long-suffering. When people come against you, when people try to tell you something different, love on them. When they're frustrating you, when they're making you upset, love on them. When you feel like you've dealt with something for so long that you can't take it anymore, love on them. Because the Bible tells you that when you bite back, you're consumed too. This is who you are. The Bible tells you that as you walk in the Spirit, you begin to bear the fruits of the Spirit. That bearing is exactly what shows who you are. Let me tell you, let me tell you that the church today is gonna begin to show a difference between who's bearing fruit and who's not. God is calling you into something new. And as he's doing it, he's making a very distinct separation. A very distinct, where you can see it even in his people, the people that are coming to church and saying, I believe in you, I trust in you, your fruits will show it. We tell our kids a lot. Actions speak louder than words. Whew. Let me tell you that in your walk, your actions show the fruit that you're bearing. It really does. Your actions are a reflection of whether you are walking in life or death. Come on, church. It's time. It is time for us to start bearing fruit. It is time for us to be clearly separated. That doesn't mean, and don't get me wrong, because growing up, I really did have this thought in my head like, oh, I can't be friends with those people because, you know, they're not showing some good fruits. No, let me tell you, you're meant to love on those people. You know, there's a lot of people who, because of religion, just this thought of this is the way things should be. When the homeless walk into a church, they don't accept them. When the drug users, drunkards all walk in, they don't accept them. Let me tell you, this church is meant for them. It's meant for them. When they come in, we should be loving on them. When they walk through those doors, we should just be encouraging them. When they come in, we should be showing them a love that they've never seen anywhere else. The church is not, even in the Bible, God says, I didn't come to condemn. I came to give life. So why are we condemning the people who don't look like us, who don't walk like us, who don't speak like us, who don't think the same things that we think? They're the people that God's going after. They are the one that he left the 99 for. We're a church that's meant to be called into action. And that action so often is just loving on somebody. Such a simple thing, but we make it so difficult. But as you walk in the Spirit, it doesn't matter. It just comes out. It just, love just pours forth. Kindness comes forth. The long suffering that you deal with, God will give you the patience because you will be walking in a completely different area. And now you are shining. You are set apart. You are no longer a part of the dark. The Bible tells us that the light that he has is something that the darkness cannot dim. It cannot dim you. You are who you are through him, and you shine. He is the true light, so you are the light. This is who you are. Don't let people tell you you're anything different. You're meant to shine. You're meant to be the salt of this earth. You're meant to season and love. That's who you are. God created you for a time like this. And all we gotta do is go after him and allow for our life to begin to bear that fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, because that's what we're meant to walk in. We're not meant to walk in death in the flesh. We are meant to walk in the Spirit. And this is the life, and the life more abundantly, that he's talking about. This is it. Do you realize that joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, all of these things, gentleness, self-control. It's crazy, but when you look at it, they really do cover pretty much every area you might worry or be concerned. When you worry, there's peace. When you're sad, there's joy. When you feel like you can't take it anymore, there's long suffering. When you're frustrated with people, there is kindness. When you feel like you can't get your weight under control and you don't know what to do, there's self-control. Even the small things, he's covered them with your fruits. As you walk in the Spirit, it covers it all. You know, this is getting very honest. I've been like, that's it, I gotta lose weight. I can't take it anymore. And honestly, when I was talking to my husband about this, I was like, but I'm so sick of like trying to do these different things and be like, we're gonna lose weight and it doesn't happen because it's hard. And this spoke to me. Everything is covered in the fruits of the Spirit. If I just keep going after God, he's gonna help me do it. It's not something I have to do on my own. It's even the small things, guys. It doesn't have to be these giant things in our lives. It's even the small things that he's given us the tools for. It's even the small things that we can turn to him for, and he will help us through them. He will give us every single thing we need if we turn to the Word and walk in the Spirit. Spend time with him. Spend time with God. Get in your Word. See what he has for you. And when you think you can't hear him speaking, keep going, because he is. When you think, I'm not getting what I need, keep going. Because sometimes what you might not realize is it's just not the answer you want, but he's already given it to you. Keep pressing in. Because we are coming to a time where he's saying, that's it. No more messing around. Are you waiting for me? Are you looking for me? Are you earnestly seeking, or did you fall asleep? Are you ready? Are you going after me? Are you waiting for the return? Or have you already just gone elsewhere and you missed it? He's called us. He's called us to be the light. And all you gotta do is go after him. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That renewing is blessing. That renewing is revelation in your life for the things that you're asking for. That renewing is water in the dryness. It's everything that you need. So go after him. I just want to encourage you. You are blessed already. He's already within you. This today was meant to be an encouragement because it's speaking to who you are. It's speaking to who he has called you to be. So know that if you go after him, these fruits will begin to come up in your life. If you go after him, if you allow the Spirit to work in your life, you'll begin to see some changes that you never even thought. And you will begin to see the fruits come forth.
Come on, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, baby. Ooh, I enjoyed that. Not just because she's my daughter. Did you sense the flow of the Holy Spirit coming through? Come on. Hallelujah. You know what? The Word of God. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says this, and I'm going to say this to you. Arise. Can you stand up? Stand to your feet. The Word of God says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the Spirit of the Lord, the glory of the Lord is upon you. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. How many want prayer? How many want shine like the brightness of the morning sun? Hallelujah. Let me just pray for you. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for that which you gave us this morning. Father, I feel like we've sat down at a great supper table and received from your hand, Lord, something for each and every one of us, Father. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that your glory, your light would shine through us, Father, like never before. Lord, that we would step into that, what you have for us, Father God, and that we would be focused upon you and upon you alone. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives, God. Thank you, Lord, for watching over them, protecting them, God, and for taking them to where you want them to be, God. I thank you for it this morning. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. You are the body of Christ in the earth. How do you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Hey.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.